Application Academy is closing if you are applying to medical school in 2024 to start in 2025. We are closing in mid-April, April 12th or 13th, somewhere around there, somewhere in mid-April. We're closing our door. It's time for you to get in to Application Academy to get the support you need to put together your story so that you aren't one of those students that end up rejected because you didn't know how to tell your story. Come join us at applicationacademy.com. Use the promo code podcast for a little extra discount. Use the promo code podcast for a little extra discount. I'll see you soon at applicationacademy.com. The pre-med path can be super confusing. If you'd love some help on your path or on your applications, use the promo code PMY for pre-med years, PMY, over at medicalschoolhq.net and get some help from some of our experts, former directors of admissions, admissions officers, other experts. We have a small team ready to help you today. Again, that's promo code PMY to get a discount on our services at medicalschoolhq.net. The pre-med year, session number 487. Hello, and welcome to The Pre-Med Years, where we believe that collaboration, not competition, is key to your success. I'm your host, Dr. Ryan Gray, and in this podcast, we share with you stories, encouragement, and information that you need to know to help guide you on your path to becoming a physician. Welcome to The Pre-Med Years. Thank you so much for joining me today. What would you do if you were faced with $100,000 in S&P debt? Or understanding that your upward trend is powerful and probably good enough to get you into your dream school. That's what our guest today was faced with when he messaged me a while ago saying, "Hey, Dr. Gray, here's my struggle. Here's where I had some dip in my grades, some struggles as a student. Here's where I've recovered. Do you think it's good enough?" And I said, "Heck yeah, look at that trend." That's why I love the power of the upward trend. And he messaged me not long ago to say he got into his dream school and he'll be starting medical school this fall. So I'm excited to bring on Mustafa to talk about his journey. If you haven't signed up yet for Mapped, we have different levels of Mapped now. We have regular old Mapped for free, and then we have Mapped Pro. With regular old free Mapped, you can use Mapped to track your GPA, get these trends, get the graphs. It's such a powerful visual to see what your GPA looks like. Too many of you are walking around with your hands over your eyes going, "I hope it's good enough. I hope it's good enough. I hope it's good enough." Well, figure out if it is good enough. Put your grades into Mapped, see the trends, and if you have questions, potentially sign up for Mapped Pro, where you can interact with one of our Mapped advisors for just a small fee every month or a smaller fee every year. Again, that's Mapped Pro or the regular old free level of Mapped. Before we jump in to our episode with Mustafa today, I want to talk about the MCAT Minute brought to you by Blueprint MCAT. If you haven't yet figured out that mnemonics and study tools are so important for the MCAT and overall as a student, as you'll hear Mustafa talk about today with active learning. What are you waiting for? It's time to learn about flashcards. Go over to MCATflashcards.com. Sign up for the free Blueprint MCAT account where you get access to 1,600 plus flashcards and you can make your own on their brand new spaced repetition platform. You'll hear Mustafa today talk about the power of active learning. Again, that's BlueprintMCAT.com. Go sign up for that free account and get access to all of those flashcards. Let's go ahead and jump into the show. Mustafa, welcome to the pre-med years. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Gray.
When did you first realize you wanted to be a doctor?
I would say it was probably in my high school years. My mom had a lot of health issues, and seeing her go through that and navigate those issues, I kind of saw how it led to her feeling this sense of a lack of empowerment, I would say. And medicine was kind of that tool that gave her that empowerment back and gave her that sense of belonging back. And kind of allowed her to do the things that were really important to her and whatever those things were. And so that was kind of what planted the seed, was seeing my mom go through those health issues. And it made me kind of gravitate towards medicine, and seeing the kindness and the compassion and the empathy there that the doctor showed her, and the whole team, the whole medical team, showed her. It kind of, that was what I would say, planted the seed, for medicine. And I think looking back on it, I would say that I want to go into medicine because I want to use it as my tool to give others a sense of belonging and a sense of empowerment. And with that empowerment, they can kind of fulfill the roles that are most important to them.
Interesting. You said this was high school?
Yeah, let's say high school. Yeah,
Okay. And how's your mom doing now?
she's good. She's
Great.
really good now.
Good, good, good. So, high school time frame, did you have like other ideas? Like, did you want to be an Instagram influencer or a professional athlete? What were your thoughts before this time?
I think I have a deep love for basketball, but
Okay.
unfortunately, I knew early on that that was probably not going to pan out. But my plan B was medicine, medicine was kind of the only thing that kind of piqued my interest and piqued kind of that was the thing that I knew that I wanted to do
Okay.
from that time. Yeah.
So it was pretty early on, before other passions, other interests kind of arose in terms of at least long-term career implications. Obviously in high school, you're still out there just figuring out who you are, not necessarily trying to figure out what you want to do for the rest of your life. So you have this idea that you want to go to medical school, after what your mom was going through. Do you have doctors in the family? Was it a piece of cake? You understood the whole journey. What was that process like for you to start to gather information?
Not a single doctor in the family. Not a single doctor in the family. I was working a lot of service industry job. I've been working in a restaurant probably since I was a teenager. And so yeah, I always felt kind of far away from medicine, and I didn't really have a plan. All I knew was, you have to go in, you have to get good grades, take a dumb test called the MCAT, and then apply, and hopefully you get in. That was kind of all I knew, heading into college. And then, college came and it hit like a ton of bricks, and I had to kind of navigate through that.
What do you mean it hit like a ton of bricks?
It was hard. I was not prepared for the rigors of college.
Why not?
It was, I would say, my high school was not, it did not prepare me very well. And what I would say is, looking back on it, so I did my degree in 5 years. And the first 3 years were a struggle. It was a lot of ups and downs, mainly downs. And what I realized in that time frame was, at the end of my third year, I took this at the end of my third year, that heading into the summer, most people, that's usually if you're going through straight through or whatever it is, that's usually the time that you take the MCAT, right? I had thought that it was going to work out like that. It was going to be perfect just like that, and it's going to work out, and I'm going to take the MCAT, and I'm going to apply the following year, only take one gap year and go to med school. And then I had the two hardest some of the two hardest quarters that I've ever had, that year's winter quarter and spring quarter. And I did bad in a physiology class, and I was like, yeah, this is not going to happen. But looking back on that time, that was the best thing that could have ever happened to me. Those two really hard quarters where I was struggling, because I had to take summer school. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to focus on these classes, and try to get them out of the way, and then I'll just take the MCAT the next year or in the winter or whatever it is. And heading into that summer, the class that I took was cognitive neuroscience. It was Psych 135. I'll never forget it. And that was the first time I learned the difference between active learning and passive learning. And that was the first time anyone had ever taught me about there's a whole science to learning. I never understood that. I always thought, hey, you just read and whatever sticks, sticks. And in my case, not a lot was sticking. And so I completely revamped the way I was studying. And I just turned it, I have this rule of thumb. It's like, if I can't put it away and regurgitate it, or at least kind of, map it out, I don't know it, and I need to go back, and I need to, see what I'm not understanding. And from that point on, the following 2 years, the worst grade I ever got was an A minus. And the only reason I got the A minus was because I didn't have a cup of coffee before the final and I was having caffeine withdrawal. And so looking back on that time, that was the first time that I understood. I was like, okay, I have this intellect and we all have this beautiful God-given intelligence, but it needs to be cared for. It needs to be nurtured in a very specific way. And in my case, that was active learning. That was flashcards. That was putting everything away and taking out a blank sheet of paper and writing everything out. Of course, those next 2 years, they weren't easy. They weren't by any stretch of the imaginations. It was still hard. I was doing well in school, but it was still difficult. But looking back on it, I'm very, very grateful for that time because it's turned me into the person that I am, and it's made me more empathetic and I can understand what others are going through. I love mentorship, and so I love understanding what people are going through. I understand with my heart because I went through it. And so, it's made me all the better for those 3 really difficult years at the beginning of my college career. But luckily, things worked out.
You'd mentioned working kind of in the service industry, working in restaurants. Were you also working in college as well? Were you trying to balance being a student and working as well to help pay for school and stuff?
Yeah, definitely. I worked at the restaurant all throughout college, and then I also had another part-time job at the library at our main library at my university, and so I was juggling those two jobs plus school and plus all the other stuff that us pre-meds have to do. You have to try to do basic science research, even if you don't like basic science research. You have to go to all the clubs and. All the clubs on campus, and so I was kind of it was a lot to juggle. But what I learned is that when you have those the right study tools, it makes everything a little bit easier, where I could manage everything a little bit better, and I was less stressed overall because I knew heading into a study session, maybe I had 3 or 4 hours right in between a shift or whatever it may be, or before an exam. But I knew that those 3, 4 hours were going to work really well for me. And so it kind of overall just kind of decreased my stress levels. And again, that goes back to, I had to, I feel like I was failing, and I had to really, really assess what was going on. Had I just been kind of, teeter-tottering, like getting B's, B minuses, getting by, I would have never kind of had that self-reflection. And so I had that self-reflection and it kind of made everything a little bit easier.
Not everyone celebrates really, really struggling, but it sounds like it was awesome for you in terms of what it opened up for you and what you learned from it. Unfortunately, though, there are implications on the back end when you're applying to medical schools. They see a big dip there and they go, uh-oh, what's going on? Are you going to be the language that I like to use? Are you going to be academically capable of doing well in medical school? And that's kind of where our journey began together. And you messaged me recently saying that you had gotten into medical school. So congrats. We'll get that out of the way now. That you had messaged me a few years ago to ask me about doing an SMP. Do you remember what you were trying to ask me at that time? Because I don't see that message anywhere.
Yeah, so at the time, what I was kind of considering, I was like, okay, like you said, on the back end, I had to kind of assess like where my GPA was. Do I need an SMP to prove to schools like, okay, I am like more than academically ready to do it? And so I was considering going and doing an SMP, even given those last 2 years of coursework being really, really, I think it was at like a 3.98, and there was a lot of units there. And so, but I still wasn't sure because my overall GPA wasn't where I wanted it to be. And so I kept telling myself, okay, let's make this road a little bit harder and go do an SMP just so I can be on the safe side. SMPs are really, really, really expensive. And I messaged you and I told you, I was like, okay, this is my GPA. This is the upward trend in it. And I gave you the specifics. And then I said, and at the time, I think I was still studying for the MCAT. So I hadn't had an MCAT score yet, but I had an idea of where I was going to be at. And I asked you, I was like, do you think I should do it? Is it worth doing the S&P? And you told me, nope, don't do it. Take the MCAT, apply, and see what happens. And I took that advice, and I had that, I had other people as well that gave me that same sort of advice. And looking back on that, I was like, thank God I don't have that massive debt going into medical school from an S&P that I probably didn't need.
Why do you think an SMP was kind of something that you had thought of, right? Because it seems to be the reflexive, oh, I need to do an SMP. Why do you think that's such common kind of a thought process for students?
I think it just goes back to we're always trying to put our best foot forward, and it's like, okay, it's out there, it's something that I can do, it's something that if I do really well in it, it'll be the thing that'll kind of get me in, it'll get me through, and it kind of also feels safe. It's just like, it's just in case I got to get the ball rolling now. I don't want to apply kind of not knowing exactly where I'm at. And I think for me that was the thinking at the time. I was like, it's just not good enough. I need to do one more thing to just prove to them to get away from that, that GPA, that those first 3 years when I started college at 17. So I was like, when I was 17, 18, 19, I have to prove to them that, I'm not this teenager anymore, and that I can do well in your coursework. And yeah, thankfully I didn't do it. It would have been a lot of money.
Yeah, a lot of money, some extra time. So, well, if you're comfortable sharing, what was your final GPA number that you applied with?
It was 3.47.
3.47 cumulative.
Three four.
Yeah,
Cumulative, yeah.
and was science around the same or a little bit less, a little bit more?
A little less. It was at a 3.3, I believe.
Okay, so 3.3, 3.47, and I'm sitting here going, yeah, you don't need an SMP. And so people on Reddit or Student Doctor Network will go, well, Dr. Gray, he's always telling everyone to just to apply. But right there was context to that number that you had given me in that original message, which is why I love the graphs now that students can create using Mapped, because they can go and put all of your grades in there, and I can see those trends. I can see what those lines look like. And the context, the story behind the 3.47 or 3.3 tells so much more than just that final number. And so I gave you some feedback. It sounds like some other people that you trust gave you some feedback as well. Even before you applied to medical school, just getting that feedback, knowing that you didn't have that journey ahead of you of an SMP and the debt involved in SMP, how did that free up just kind of your mental bandwidth?
A lot, because then I was able to focus on just the MCAT, and I was able to like, okay, let me try to do as well as I can on this, and I don't have to juggle an S&P plus trying to study for the MCAT. And the MCAT was also a journey in and of itself. It took me a while to take, but I would definitely say, like that's, I think you put it in a really good way. It kind of freed me up to just focus on the application and to focus on the MCAT and to try to, put my best foot forward with what I had.
Yeah. So when you're looking at the application, having a dip in grades or some struggles there before you figured it out with that active learning, did you in the application feel like you had to apologize for that? Did you talk about it in personal statement or in secondary essays that ask questions about grades? Wait, did you address the GPA anywhere?
I addressed it. Yeah, I addressed it a little bit. I said, I kind of gave him a little bit of context about what was going on those first 3 years. And I used it as a strength. I used it as something where I was like, okay, this shows resilience. This shows that, I was tested, and that I was kind of able to get through with it. And I used this experience to kind of make me the person that I am in terms of paying it forward to others. So I would say I kind of turned it into a strength, I would say, rather than kind of just dwelling on those bad grades.
Yeah. And where did you talk about that?
I talked about it in a lot of the secondaries. I didn't talk, I mentioned it briefly in the personal statement, which I know I've been told that I shouldn't have done.
Yeah.
because the grades are blinded for some schools. But I mentioned it very, briefly, because it was important to me, because it was important to kind of my story. Because what I did, after I graduated was I founded a mentorship project. And so that was kind of the basis for why it led to me finding it. And so I felt like it was important for me to mention it there.
So I love that change in language there. So you started that conversation with I wasn't supposed to do that, right? I wasn't supposed to talk about it in my personal statement, which is strong language, and I wouldn't agree with that. Like there's no rules here. You can do what you want. And then you finished it with it was right for me, right? For me, for my story, that's what I should have done, and that's what you did do. So I love that.
Definitely, yeah.
I love that. Talk about being a student, going through this time, struggling with some grades, doing all of the stuff. Were you getting clinical experience, shadowing all of the normal kind of pre-med stuff at this time too? How were you juggling all of that?
Yeah, I was volunteering at a student run free clinic at my school. And I volunteered there for about 4 years, all throughout my time in almost all throughout my time in undergrad. And it was difficult to juggle, I would say. It was another added layer of time commitment. But kind of going back to what I was saying with once I kind of figured out school, I was able to not only kind of excel in school, but also excel in my volunteer activities and kind of grow in those roles and take on different leadership roles. And yeah, so I would say I was doing a lot of the normal pre-med, the run-of-the-mill pre-med stuff. I was, through the clinic, I was able to shadow. I was also a part of MAPS, for anyone that is kind of the it's the college chapter of SNMA. And I was also doing some research as well. I was doing some basic science research for about 2 years, I believe. But I didn't enjoy that at all. And so through my clinic, I was then able to do clinical research, and that opened up the world of clinical research for me, which is something that I really enjoy.
Yeah, awesome. When it came to finally applying, getting the courage to apply and get your MCAT score and all of that fun stuff, you had talked about addressing some of the GPA stuff in your personal statement a little bit, but more in secondaries. How many interviews did you end up getting?
I ended up getting three interviews.
Three interviews.
Three
At the
interviews.
three interviews, how much did your GPA come up?
Not once. Not once.
What do you mean not once? It's a terrible GPA. Don't they want to know?
That's what they all tell. That's what Reddit and SDN was telling me, and I guess they were wrong.
Yeah. So what did you talk about during your interviews?
I talked about me. I talked about my experiences, and I talked about my journey and why I wanted to go into medicine. And not once did I ever talk about GPA. Not once did I ever talk about MCAT. And I was just talking about experiences and how they've made me into the person that I am today, and how they've informed some of the dreams and aspirations that I have as a medical student and as a doctor.
Yeah. What was your favorite question you got during an interview?
I love the book question. I love what's your favorite book, because I love reading, and so I love that question.
Yeah. Did you have like reading or books on your application somewhere as a hobby?
I did.
Okay.
Did I had reading, and I also had basketball because I love basketball. Those are like two big passions of mine, and
Yeah.
so I had them there, and it was something that I think it's important to have those things there, because it kind of makes them see you more as, human, I guess, in a way.
Yeah. Human makes sense. We want humans
Human.
here. Humans, that's
Exactly.
good. How did you prepare for your interviews?
I did a lot of practice questions with I did as many mocks as I could, and I think that's the most important thing. And then there is a YouTube there's a lecture on YouTube. I think his name is Professor Kevin Ahern. And I watched his two videos. He has like 2 hour long interview prep like lectures, and those completely changed me as an interviewer. And those were the things that I say was the thing that kind of really made me into a good interviewer. And so, like, for anyone that's heading into interviews, please check those out. They're on YouTube. If you just look up Kevin Ahern medical school interviews, they're really, really helpful. And then I would say also, I think the most important thing is probably the mock interviews and try to do as much mocks as you can with friends, with HP, with like your health professions advising, if you have one.
Yeah, definitely. I'll practice, 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 practice. That's awesome. So, as you come out the other end now, you have a medical school acceptance. Looking back, do you remember that first acceptance that you got, or how many acceptances did you end up getting?
Ended up getting two acceptances.
Two acceptances. What was it like to
Two
get that
acceptances.
first one?
First one was special. First one was so I knew that they were gonna if I was gonna get in, they were gonna call me kind of that day or by the end of that week. And so I was like mentally preparing throughout the week. I'm like, okay, if they don't call you, it's okay. Like, maybe they'll wait list you, maybe they'll call you next week, maybe they're busy, whatever it may be. And so I was kind of like mentally preparing myself. And then I was at work. And then we were kind of like setting up and we were trying to, leave the office. And then I get a bunch of like scam calls on my phone. And so I was like, oh, this is just another scam. I have an Apple Watch and I saw it on my Apple Watch. And I saw this phone number. And I was like, oh, this is just another scam call. But I was like, hey, let me just look at my phone to see if. Let me just check. Let me just double check. Let me see the area like on iPhone, like it'll say the area from where it's
Yeah.
coming from. And then I look at my phone and I was like, okay, it's from the city that I interviewed at. And so I was
Uh-oh.
like, this is it. And so I picked up and it was definitely amazing. It was kind of something that, I'll never forget. It was a lot of long, long time coming. And it was something that it was definitely something that wasn't promised to me. And so that was amazing to kind of get that call.
Yeah. Who was the first person you told?
I tried to call my little sister, and then she
Yeah.
didn't pick up. And then I called my youngest sister after that. She was the first person I told. And then
Yeah.
I told my mom.
Why sisters first?
They're just some they're my just my best friends. And there were definitely two people. They kind of just saw me through that. They really understood what I was going through,
Yeah.
and how difficult it was for me. My mom was at work, so I knew that it would have been tough for her to pick up. So my sister was the first kind of person that came to mind.
Yeah. What'd your mom say when you told her?
She was over the moon. She was ecstatic for sure. It
That's
was a
awesome.
special day, a
That's
special phone
awesome.
call.
What are you interested in for the future in terms of specialty and what your future holds?
So I would say I've always been interested in pediatrics, because kids are the best. And like I said, I've been a server my whole life, and I always loved when kids would come in because they're so much easier to deal with than the adults.
Yeah,
But of course,
but the kids come in with their parents though.
they do, but there's still a better time with them.
Yeah.
I, from everything that I've been told is to always, keep an open mind. And so that I'm definitely going to go into med school with, keeping an open mind, but also, decide trying to see, trying to like shadow and trying to see exactly what it is that interests me most.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, looking back at your journey from the moment you step foot on campus to now having your med school acceptance, if you could go back and tell yourself something, right? Yeah, young Mustafa, fresh on campus, what would you tell yourself?
Just kind of let go. I think there's a lot of times that we put a lot of pressure on ourselves, and a lot of expectation, and sometimes it's just best to let go.
Yeah, just
Oh,
let go,
for
and
sure.
learn active learning.
And learn active learning for sure.
Well, Mustafa, congratulations on your success getting in and overcoming, getting that upward trend going, not wasting money on an S&P you didn't need. As we wrap up here, for the student who is contemplating an S&P or a post-bacc, not knowing what's right for them, what words of wisdom do you have for them?
I would say just, lean on others and try to get as good of an opinion as you can. Give, go to your HPA or go to whoever it may be, and give them the full story and the full context of everything, and then see what they tell you and lean on what they say, because most of the time they know more than you. And most, as pre-meds, all we kind of know is Reddit and S&P and SDN. And so I would say lean on professionals and get that help.
All right, so there you have it again, Mustafa, talking about his journey from passive learning to active learning, from being a not so great student to being a good student with still a lot of work, and finally getting that phone call that he was accepted to medical school. And who he called first. It's a great, great story. I hope this was helpful for you. I hope you realize that no matter where you are in your journey, it's not over until you say it is. Mustafa didn't give up, took 5 years to finish his undergrad, didn't waste money doing an SMP, and made it to medical school. If you would like some help in understanding your grades, again, go spend $90 for a year of MAPT Pro access, where you can enter your grades and communicate with a MAPT advisor, one of our expert MAPT advisors, who have the knowledge necessary to give the same advice that I gave Mustafa, that you don't have to go waste all of that money in tuition if you don't need it. I think $90 to save $100,000, pretty worth it. If I do say so myself. And don't forget to also go check out blueprintmcat.com. So that's two places, mapped.com, MAPPD.com, and blueprintmcat.com. I hope you have a great week. We'll see you next time here on The Pre-Med Years.
This is MedEd Media.